Red Eye is a program of alternative politics and culture which broadcasts live from 9 until noon every Saturday morning on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM and around the world at cooperadio.org. Here's Chris Spanos.
Last year, Energy Minister Richard Neufeld said he was looking forward to getting a proposal from Tecuminco for a coal-fired plant in the Kootenays. Now, Compliance Energy has said it wants to build a plant near Princeton. Arthur Caldicott is with the Dogwood Initiative. We spoke with him in December about coal bed methane. He joins us this morning to talk about the use of coal to make electricity. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning.
Who is Compliance Energy?
It's just a small Vancouver-based company that trades on the Toronto Stock Exchange. It has coal rights in the Princeton area, in the Tuolumne coal field specifically. And up until this last year, it's been really not very much in terms of its stock trading activity. The stock has taken off as a result of the company's recent expression of interest in coal-fired generation, however.
Where do they want to build their plant?
Most British Columbians who have driven east over the old Hope-Princeton Highway remember the mine just before you get into Princeton. It's called the Similco Mine. That's where they want to build the plant. They'll truck the coal from their mine site, which is at Coalmont, I guess that's about 20 kilometers away, up to the mine site, and burn the coal there for power generation.
And how far along are they with the project?
Well, in terms of the physical plant, they don't have very much at all. They have an option on the mine site, which has a building on it that they hope to use as their generation house, I guess. But beyond that, they haven't really gotten very far. They have not submitted a formal air emissions permit to the waste management branch of the provincial government. But they've indicated in a notice that they published in Princeton newspapers last October that they intend to. And the public period for comment on that emissions permit ended on January the 15th. So the company has intentions of moving ahead. And if they get the air emissions permit, there aren't very many other serious regulatory impediments to them building what would be British Columbia's very first coal-fired generation facility.
I understand the plant wouldn't require a full-scale environmental assessment. Why not?
Well, there's a number of reasons for that. The Environmental Assessment Act was written by this latest provincial government to facilitate projects, not to conduct a thorough assessment that has a lot of integrity in it. And there are thresholds. So if you have a small project, you may duck under the threshold. And the threshold for coal-fired generation is 50 megawatts. Compliance has stated that their project will be 49 megawatts. It's a manipulative and clearly calculated rating. In fact, the plant is nominally rated at 49 megawatts. You can make it produce a lot more than that by putting in more oxygen, by burning more coal, by burning better quality coal. So there's any number of things that will happen after the plant's built that will have that actually operating above the threshold. So they've pegged it at 49 megawatts, specifically to duck an environmental assessment.
Why do you think the project should go to environmental review?
Well, there's a number of reasons for that. The biggest is, of course, that we all know that coal is the dirtiest of fossil fuels. It's got a really bad reputation, deservedly so. Everywhere in the world, the coal-fired generation dominates the electricity production methods. In Ontario specifically, the province has said that they intend to get out of coal by 2007. And everywhere else that coal is used as an electricity generation fuel, they're cleaning it up or they're phasing out plants. And new regulations for new coal-fired plants elsewhere in the world are really stringent. British Columbia doesn't have stringent regulations like that at all. So coal produces enormous numbers of toxins. It produces three times the greenhouse gas emissions of natural gas, for example, in production of electricity. The biggest reason is health and environmental protection. Coal is, quite simply, no matter what kind of scrubbing devices you put on it, a very dirty fuel, and it has huge health and environmental impacts. So for that reason, British Columbians deserve to have a full public discussion as to what we're introducing here. This is a little bit like deciding whether or not we're going to serve alcohol in school lunchrooms. It's a big public policy decision. It's not a trivial little piece of hardware that we're talking about here. It's something of huge significance to British Columbians. And for that reason, the Minister of Sustainable Resource Management actually has the authority to say, irrespective of the thresholds of 50 megawatts, I determine that this plant should be a reviewable project. And so we're appealing to the minister and asking British Columbians who are listening to this show and anyone else who finds out about this to write a letter to the Minister of Sustainable Resource Management saying British Columbia's first coal-fired generation plant needs to undergo an environmental assessment.
You touched on toxic emissions. Could you say more about what toxic emissions are in there?
Well, there's coal can contain anything. Depending on where the coal comes from, it will be a smorgasbord of different substances, many of which are toxic. But the key ones that are regulated everywhere are sulfur dioxides, nitrogen oxides, and particulate matter. What isn't regulated in many jurisdictions yet is mercury. When you burn coal, you produce small amounts of mercury, but mercury in the smallest of proportions is hugely toxic. And so regulations with respect to mercury are coming everywhere. They just don't apply in British Columbia yet. So those are the big ones: sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxides, particulate matter, and mercury.
How does it compare with natural gas as a means to generate electricity?
I hate to say it because I'm not a strong supporter of any fossil fuel in terms of electricity generation, because they all create greenhouse gases. And as a signatory to the Kyoto Protocol, Canada's got a huge responsibility now to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions. Coal produces three times the greenhouse gas emissions of natural gas. And in terms of all those other substances, sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxide, etc., all of those other things, natural gas is far and away the cleanest of fossil fuels and produces almost none of those other substances compared to coal, which is the dirtiest of the fossil fuels.
Now, you mentioned earlier that BC permits far higher levels of several of the emissions than almost any other jurisdiction in North America. Where does mercury fit into those controls?
Mercury isn't regulated yet, and it's most unfortunate because it's probably of all of the substances, it's so toxic and it's so insidious because it gets everywhere and it doesn't degrade in the environment. It just hangs around ready to do its toxic act on any life form that comes near it. So it's not regulated. But once you start talking about these toxic substances, you get into technical detail that loses most people. But with respect to sulfur dioxide, for example, the BC limit, and I'm not going to go into the quantities or the metrics here, but the BC limit is between 290 and 180 nanograms per joule. Elsewhere in the world, and in Alberta, for example, they're building coal-fired generation plants now that produce only 43 nanograms per joule. So BC's lowest level is nearly five times what they're actually building plants in other jurisdictions at. So the BC government has written guidelines with respect to emissions that are hugely liberal and basically just throw open the door to these coal-fired generation proponents and say it's open season in BC.
Tecuminco has been invited to make a proposal by the energy minister. Have they gone ahead and done that?
No, they haven't yet. And there are a number of reasons for that. One is they don't have a customer for the power yet. The other is that Tecuminco has large projects in mind and would probably rather wait and see how a much smaller company like Compliance or Hillsborough Resources on Vancouver Island or one of the much smaller, more speculative operations fares with its first coal-fired generation plant, because of course once the first little plant has paved the way in BC, it's much easier for a bigger one.
What kind of local political support do they have?
They have very little local political support. That's not to say that people aren't interested in jobs. If we're talking about Compliance right now, cited in Princeton, like so many other rural communities in BC, is not thriving. Its local economy is tenuous at best, and so they're looking for jobs any way they can get them. So they're naturally interested in that. And Princeton Council has, has not taken on the coal-fired generation project as an issue at this point. That's not to say that there isn't a lot of local interest in understanding what's being proposed for the community. So, for example, the Upper Similkameen Band, which does have an interest in local projects and will almost certainly get jobs out of any projects that are built, has also asked for a full environmental assessment of the compliance project, as are we doing.
Jurisdictions across North America are phasing out coal-fired plants. Ontario plans to phase them out completely by 2007. Why are the BC Liberals moving in the opposite direction?
One doesn't want to get too cynical about this. Techminco is the largest single corporate donor to the BC Liberals. They have given the party something over in excess of $600,000 over the last few years. And as you quoted at the beginning of the interview, Richard Neufeld said that he welcomes a proposal from Techminco. So, I mean, not to be too cynical, but it could be connected to that sort of thing. The other thing is that this government really has no environmental interests at heart and is looking to generate economic activity wherever it can get it. And the big coal-fired generation plant is obviously a big industrial operation with lots of jobs, lots of spin-off economic benefits, like selling cigarettes, you know, which also generates lots of economic activity. It's not good for us, and we need to move the other way if we're to even hope to achieve anything close to the Kyoto Agreement.
Maybe you can say again what you think people can do about this.
If I could refer people to the Dogwood Initiative website, dogwoodinitiative.org, they can find out more information about coal-fired generation or get in touch with me by phone or email. What people should be doing at this point is writing to the Minister of Sustainable Resource Management, asking or demanding a full environmental assessment for what will be BC's first coal-fired generation plant. And it may not be the Compliance Energy Project, but whatever project it's going to be, it demands a full environmental assessment. British Columbians need to know and deserve to understand what's being introduced.
Thank you very much, Arthur, for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Arthur Caldicott. He's with the Dogwood Initiative based in Victoria.
You've been listening to Red Eye, a program produced by an alternative media collective in Vancouver, Canada. Red Eye broadcasts live every Saturday morning from 9 until noon and can be heard around the world at cooperadio.org.